بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، yesterday we discussed about Safa and Marwa. So we just recap and repeat that when a person makes his sa'i, what do you call a sa'i بين Safa and Marwa, the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And then we went through the du'as also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the fourth kalima. And then other du'as that he read thereafter. There were du'as to make there also, as we mentioned, Haji Faruq Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, I should say. On Mount Safa, make du'a for Safa'i qalb. Safa, purity, cleanliness. Allah ta'ala give me a pure and clean heart. And together with that, when you're running between the green light, Hazrat Hajar radiyallahu ta'ala anha had run. Allah ta'ala loved her running. Husband in the path of Allah, fulfilling the command of Allah, she's making sabr behind, and there's no water, there's no food, the baby is about to pass away, thirst, severe thirst, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, what do you call, royal blood. Then to Allah Ta'ala seeking qurbani, ashadul bala al-anbiya, ashadul nasi bala al-anbiya, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the people that will be tested the most be the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. They be tested the most. We feel now no test in our life, Allah Pak loves us. What about Anbiya alayhim salatu? They were tested the most. He also very beautiful tafsir with the Shafi Sahib says rahmatullah alayhi about tests. He says tests is not always because of a person's sin and gunas. Sometimes the sabab and the cause is there to be punished. The sin is there. Because of which there should be an effect, there should be a reaction from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala of punishment. But sometimes a person does a good deed also. So because of the good deed, Allah Ta'ala was off the evil effect of the bad deed. And then he gets saved. So we understand that by an evil deed, doesn't mean always you'll be punished. Or sometimes you do a good deed. Or some other things happen. As you mentioned, a person had the sunnah dua, it saved him. Somebody make dua for him. I have to tell brothers, make dua for me. I make it a habit of somebody ask, make dua for me. Make dua same time. Don't say inshallah. You say inshallah, but make the dua. Allah Ta'ala give you afiyat. Allah Ta'ala give you barakat. He requested you, so make dua from the heart. So immediately make the dua for the person. So sometimes, the guna is there, the cause for punishment is found, but punishment doesn't come because of something else. Oh, wa ya'afu an kathir. Allah Ta'ala forgives plenty like that also. Allah Ta'ala just overlooks it. In the same way, Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, when they're going through trials and tribulations, not necessarily is because of, there is no sin, but it is there Allah Ta'ala tests them to raise them. And for the pious, Allah Ta'ala tests them to forgive their sins and also to raise them. She says, always because of sins and gunas. As Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, person abuses his eyes, bad nazri. And that's become a common thing now. Whether you see all these apps people are using, it's not permissible. Even women also looking at women on the internet, not permissible. Right? They're looking for some clothing, children's clothing, whatever it is. And now they're viewing, and they got some children modeling there, or a picture also. That's not permissible. Right? To look at pictures also is not permissible. We don't make guna. We don't make toba of this guna also. It's common now. Is that a problem? But that's also is a guna and a sin. If you want to be simple and stay simple, you don't have to do all these things. Buy the clothing and carry on. But now we want something that nobody else has. So therefore we have to go online and search and look and look. But it's not a need. It's just a want. It's a desire. That I just like to look for all this. But in that process, the amount of darkness is coming in the heart. Because of looking at all these pictures online, inevitably it will go to haram thing. That is haram as it is. They will go to something else and something else, and before you know it, you're already in haram. And no tawbah is made. That is why we say people are going for umrah upon umrah, but no effect still. Coming back still the same. Sometimes we're doing it there also. So khair, coming back to Safa Marwa. So there Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, she ran. Allah Ta'ala loved the running so much. Allah Ta'ala commanded the ummah till qiyamah, run there also. So make intention that time. Ya Allah, I'll run for you the rest of my life. Run away from sin and run towards you. Fafirru ila Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that now, hasten, rush, sprint to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I'm sprinting, I'm running now. And couples are there together, also tell their wife that now we'll walk in the path of Allah, we'll move together. Right? Whatever amal to be done, whether we move in the path of Allah, tashkil, 3 days, 10 days, we'll move together. As we are walking here now, they also will walk when you get back home. Away from gunas and sins, we don't need haram in our home anymore now. Allah brought us right over here, we're walking Safa, Marwa. And just recall Hajar, how she walked over here. How can we walk? And she's walking here now, running up and down, right, out of this fear, anxiety, what will happen to my child? I might lose him. He might pass away. There's no water available. I'm all alone. Here we got everything filled up. Houses are full of extravagance and guna and sin, sometimes TV and computers and the YouTube and everything else. And we're walking Safa Marwa. But there's no connection. We're just walking it now. There should be feeling there, Ya Allah, that family of three were qurbani, they made that today I'm walking here. As we mentioned yesterday, to the family of three, Ibrahim, Ismail and Hajar, alayhimus salatu wasalam. From that family you got Baytullah. From that family you got Maqam Ibrahim. From that family of three, we got Zamzam. From the family of three, we got Safa Marwa. From the family of three, we got qurbani, which we make now, next week, this 2 weeks time will be qurbani, Eid al-Adha. What qurbani the family made, and I'm walking the same. In the same path also, Ya Allah, that entire family was based upon qurbani. So at least we can make some qurbani. Give up our TVs, and our gadgets, and our YouTubes, and TikToks. In fact, before we get there, it should be deleted already. It should be out of our phones. We can't deceive Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. We can't have the videos and pictures in our phones and be making safa marwa. How is Allah ta'ala going to give us safa ya qalb, a clean heart? Whereas the phone is not clean. So you've got to clean the phone. Now, we want to become clever also. We leave the phone in the room. So we won't carry it. You can't bluff Allah. Can't deceive Allah. Allah knows Allah's camera is on your camera. Where your eyes are focusing, Allah's camera is on your eyes. Whether the eyes of the heart, or whether your physical eyes, Allah Ta'ala is looking at you. Now, if you can't get hidayat in Umrah and Hajj, the pinnacle and climax of a person's life to go to Baytullah. Allah has called me. Many people in deception also, we're going every year, next year will change. Next year will change. And people say, hey, you got accepted again. Is that acceptance? Allah will allow you. Allah will allow you to come for Hajj and Umrah. Like how the Hadith Sharif says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow a fajr, an open sinner, to use his wealth and to support the deen of Allah. Allah will use him, Allah will not accept him. So Allah can use our wealth. You come here, come away, you got points, holiday, have a break a little bit. You say, better we make it a pious holiday. So we come away here. Doesn't mean you accept it. Allah will let you come, doesn't mean you qabool. You have to make that effort of acceptance. This is where we get now beguiled and deluded, and we get deceived that hey, every year they're going, mashallah. You got accepted. Doesn't mean acceptance. Doesn't mean how many people come for salah, reading salah, alright? But you see his salah is such a salah, quality of salah, not accepted. Sajda, he's making sajda, one or both the feet of the ground for the entire sajda duration. Salah is nullified. But he's reading namaz. How many person covered in t-shirt and jeans? He goes into ruku, into sajda, the back is open. The awra satar is open. His salah is invalid, but reading salah. So it doesn't mean now I'm going for hajj and umrah. So by default I'm pious, Allah Ta'ala accepted me. No, not at all. Person has to make the effort of acceptance. He has to do the amal in the way that is beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and all the avenues of guna and sins have to be closed up before I get there. Before I go there, I have to take it out completely. So it's not that now I'm going there and then I'll come right. As you mentioned, in December you want fruits, you can't start planting in December. You got to plant before that. Before I go for Hajj already, close all those accounts. I'm going for Umrah also, close all. I don't need these things, all these apps. Clean phone, clean slate, clean heart. So the family of three, on their qurbani, we got all this deen. And we're enjoying it. And they gave up everything. They gave up husband, wife, children, father's company, everything they gave up. Food, water, healthy, nothing they had. And upon that, now I'm walking on this zameen. And this piece of ground of Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, and how she ran. How Allah loved her running. Allah loved her running. Husband in the path of Allah, and she's making sabr. And the child has no food. Allah loved her running. Allah says, Ummat must run till Qiyamah. So, Ya Allah, I'll run for you the rest of my life now. Then we mention also when it comes to du'as between Safa and Marwa, or on Safa and Marwa, what du'as to make. So yesterday we made muzakara quickly, what can du'as to make. This will keep our focus. Otherwise, you know our du'as, how it is. Sometimes there's no heart in it. We're tired now, you know, finish our Umrah. As we mentioned, if you take one part of our body, for example, we said, like on Safa, so I'm making du'a for your tongue only. Ya Allah, from the time I became baligh, how I use my tongue, the amount of lies, the amount of ghibat, Allah save us. The amount of ghibat we all are making right now. Whether we're listening, whether we're speaking, but ghibat is taking place already. So the amount of ghibat that is taking place that we are making sometime. And we say also, I don't want to make ghibat, but we still say. We still say it. And then we tell the person also, Imam, I made your ghibat. Now you know, hurt him double. By first you made my ghibat, what do you say about me? Now I can't tell you. Now, what kind that is now? Now you hurt his feeling, you made his ghibat, and now you hurt his heart also. So the ghibat, the vulgar language, how many times they disobeyed our parents, told them, oof, hey, you're making all these sounds. So all these things, Allah, how I use my tongue? How many people I must have hurt? Whether my asatiza, whether my wife, whether my parents, sometimes the workers also. We're doing it, but we don't regard it now. So Allah, my tongue, how I used it. Maybe singing before, whatever it was now. Allah, all those gunas. So we clean the tongue out also. Making dua and safa, clean out the tongue. And Ya Allah, till today. And then Ya Allah, how to use my tongue. Ya Allah, I should be using with dhikr. The Quran tilawat, to speak about your greatness, and to read tafsir, and to remind others of their deen. So all these du'as we make, how, Ya Allah, I should be using it. Should have been the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, because of my tongue, I'll be thrown into fire of Jahannam, head first, Hadith Sharif says. How many people will be thrown head first into Jahannam, just because of the sin of the tongue only? And how many a person, Muslim Sharif riwayat, that his entire life he speaks the right thing. Speaks the right thing, and it's one shibr, the space between your little finger and your thumb. He's so close to Jannat. And he just says something which Allah dislikes, and his entire taqdeer is changed, his death space now from Jahannam, and he dies like that. Entire life came out. Other person now so close to Jahannam, one balish, shibrun, right? The span of a hand, your palm. And he says something Allah loves. His whole taqdeer is changed, Allah Ta'ala pushes him towards Jannat, and he passes away like that, towards Jannat. One great sinner entered the masjid, in his whatever state he was. And as he entered, he read the Durood Sharif loudly. Congregation heard it, they read the Durood with him. Allah loved it so much, and that Allah gave him Jannat. All the gunas are maaf. Just on the tongue, Ya Allah, I don't know where this tongue will land me up. So just on that one round of safa studying, they make dua for our tongues. And how much we hurt our parents sometime. If parents have passed on, Ya Allah, forgive us and make the maghfirat also. Going to Marwa, they make dua for the ears, Ya Allah. The music I heard, the haram things I heard, the ghibat, whatever it was. And how I should be using it till my mouth and thereafter. Answer the jawab, sawal jawab in the qabr, to hear the correct things. So all the ears only. So one round, Safa Marwa, we make dua for one part of the body. So we got tongue, we got the ears. Then we have our eyes, then we enough tawbah, that's enough for 7 rounds. Just the eyes only, Allah, what haven't I seen? How I abused the eyes, the amana that you have given me. Then our minds, our hearts, our limbs, hands, feet, private parts. Then even the masturat also. Even the masturat also when it comes to their hijab, Ya Allah. How many years have I worn hijab, Ya Allah? You brought me to Safa, I'm standing here. How you loved Hajar, Ya Allah, make me like her, that you love me also. To cover my hair also, cover, put my niqab in hijab, tawbah for revealing my face, putting on perfume, Ya Allah, which is haram to put on perfume before you leave the home for masturat. So all one round we can make dua for one part of our body. 7 rounds we'll make solid dua, inshallah. Like this, now we're just making dua anyhow. Then we mention also between Safa and Marwa, then we can read kalima, istighfar, durood sharif, or if you really want to focus, Munajat-e Maqbool. We have the copies, pocket size copy also. Right? If we have to now, the last resort, PDF we want to use, then we can use it. Put your data off, so no messages are coming through. So we have the Monday, Tuesday, whatever we can read now. But all these du'as are solid du'as from Quran and Hadith Sharif. That is, I mean, proper du'a. Otherwise what will happen, we're looking around and no focus in it. So at least we've got these du'as to make. Also one point when it comes to the Quran Sharif also. Here, Yeah, many articles written in regards to the Quran, now we have it on the phone. That now reading Quran on the phone is a last resort. Not the first, last resort. Especially when you're sitting in the masjid. Especially they say, don't put yourself in a situation where people will think bad about you. Yeah, what is he doing with his phone now? Sitting in the masjid and he's playing with his phone, etc. Alright, people don't know you're reading Quran Sharif, but then too, the best is say, to take the Quran in your hand, kiss it, put it on your chest, put it on your head, and take care of holy muhabbat and love, put the desk over there, would focus, read your Quran Sharif. Now, myself now, if I have to read from my phone, we can imagine later on now, we've got our small phones. Alright, maybe 10, 20 years time, what are our kids going to come with? They come with big tabs from the masjid, now read Quran Sharif. Already happening in the haram. Alright, they put it on the chair there, and they're sitting and they're reading Quran Sharif. So use the mushaf. Yes, we're traveling out somewhere. Nowadays we have pocket size also, but then you're going to go to the toilet. Where are you going to put it after that? Right? If you're going to carry one when you're going to Haramain also. Carry one copy, you go to the haram, put it in your pocket. We use 13-line Quran, they go 15-line Quran. So we use 13-line. So carry from here also. So as a last resort, then we can use a phone, but not the first resort. So coming back now, yesterday we stopped at Mina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 5 salah in Mina, from Zuhur to Zuhur. Sorry, that was in Abtah. Then he went to Mina, and on the night of Mina, Surah Musallat was revealed, 29 para. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam and Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu spent the night in Mina. Then the plain of Arafah. So remember when you speak about the plains of Arafat, this is not the plains of Qiyamah. Many people think now Qiyamah will take place in Arafat. Qiyamah will take place in Sham, in Syria. Where we have Palestine right now, Palestine, Lebanon, Sham, Syria, Jordan. All that makes up Sham. So that will be the plains of Qiyamah. This is the plains of Hajj, Arafah. During the 9th day of Zulhijjah, as the sun rose, it was Yawmul Jumu'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the sun rose, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from Mina towards Arafah. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, كانت قريش ومن دان دينها يقفون بالمزدلفة وكانوا يسمون الحمس وكان سائر العرب يقفون بعرفات فلما جاء الإسلام أمر الله نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يأتي عرفات ثم يقف بها ثم يفيض منها. The Aisha's riwayat, she says, previously the Quraysh and those who followed their ways stayed at Muzdalifa. This practice was known as Humps, while other Arab tribes gathered at Arafah, but the Quraysh wouldn't go to Arafah. They would stop at Muzdalifa. They regarded themselves to be the upper caste. We don't go to Arafah. We stay within the boundaries of the Haram. Other tribes, they can go out of the boundary. This practice was known as Humps, while other Arab tribes gathered at Arafah. However, with the advent of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay at Arafat and from here to travel to Muzdalifah. Bukhari Sharif. This is the meaning of the verse, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَادَ النَّاسُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ. Then depart from the place from where all the people depart, referring to Arafat. That is where you must depart from. So make sure you go to Arafat. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam journeyed through Muzdalifah to Arafat. All along he and his noble Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum continued to recite Talbiyah and Takbir. Now they all were in Ihram. Those that were making Qiran, whether it was Qiran, it was Tamattu, whether it was Ifarad, they were already in Ihram of Hajj. So Talbiyah and Takbir right through. Arriving at Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pitched his tent and remained at Namira. Now the masjid called it Masjid Namira. In Mina is Masjidul Khayf. Right, we come back to that. Where Sahaba Ikram was stationed, they have that masjid called Masjidul Khayf, that is where Sahaba Ikram camped in Mina, at the same spot where the masjid is. So here was Masjidul Namira. Obviously now it's not like how it is today. It was an open space and some part of the masjid, the front part of the masjid is a part of Arafah. So We advise the people, be careful if you go into the masjid. At sunset, he prepared his camel qaswa and proceeded to Batnul Wadi. This was after Zuhr Salah. So he went to the middle of the valley where he delivered a remarkable sermon. This was after Zawal. In this sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced the abolishment of the blood money of Ibn Rabi'ah. There was some blood money due, so he abolished it. And he also announced the abolition of usury and declared that usury interest of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib was the first to be abolished. He was owed some money. So that time they used to loan on interest. He says, from today now, riba, interest, usury is haram, finish. And the first one I abolish and cancel in my own uncle that is owed to him. Finish, nobody owes him any money in regards to the interest. In his sermon, he emphasized the abolishment of the practices stemming from the pre-Islamic era, that is Jahiliyyah, proclaiming, every practice of ignorance is now beneath my feet. It's over now. After concluding his sermon, the khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Bilal radiallahu anhu to call the adhan and iqamah for salah. Salat al-zuhr was musafir, the two rakats. He then performed two rakats of zuhr, followed immediately by two rakats for asr. So one adhan was given, iqamah was given, he made imamah of two rakats salah, then immediately thereafter the second iqamah was given. So in case the people dispersed, they heard the second iqamah. So another rule now, regulation, we're reading zuhr, at one time now in Zuhr time. This is only for those that are at Arafah, for the Hanafis. It's permissible only if you're behind the Imam of Hajj at the Masjid, then you can do this. Other Muftiyan and Muftis have the fatwa also, they said you can do it at your camp also. So he read the two rakats Asr Salah also. Subsequently, he rode his camel Qaswa, the name was Qaswa, to the Muqif, the place where you make Wukuf. Near the rocks, beneath Jabal al-Rahmah. You must have seen the picture, Jabal al-Rahmah. You got a white pillar over there. So there Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made wukuf. It's called wukuf Arafah. It's called the muqif, the place of wukuf, the place where you stand, you'll make dua. So there he gave the khutbah at Masjid al-Namira. And then over here he came to Jabal al-Rahmah, where he fervently made dua, shedding tears in humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah s.a.w. supplicated in such a manner, and that is similar to a hungry person asking for assistance from a benevolent and generous patron. They say called mustad'imin miskin. Mustad'im refers to a person who is begging for food. Somebody comes and says, please give me some food. He raises their hands a little bit, and how the person, like this, he made dua. Say for almost 6 hours. For almost 6 hours, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua. It was summer months. So he read zuhur, finish, and asr. It was wukuf one way till sunset. His hands were raised and he cried profusely while engaging in dua until sunset. During this time, some individuals from Najd approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to inquire about Hajj. He informed them, Al-Hajju Arafa, faman jaa laylata jam'in qabla tulu' al-fajr, faqad adrak al-Hajj. So he told them the rule of Hajj, that Hajj is to stay in Arafa. There's two farz of Hajj. One is wukuf Arafah, from any time after Zawal on the 9th till before Subh Sadiq of the next morning. So when it comes to Arafah, the day of Arafah, it has two nights. For example, say today was the 8th. So after Maghrib will be the 9th of Zul Hijjah. So this night belongs to the day tomorrow. Alright? So, for example, now tomorrow is Arafah, so already the 9th started. But this night of the 9th belongs to the day tomorrow, 9th. Then they make wukuf from Zawal, anytime after Zawal, right till sunset. But even the after sunset, according to those in Hajj, and for them, is still the 9th. After sunset is still the 9th. So a person didn't make it in time by sunset, he still can come. Till the next morning, Subh Sadiq. So it means now, we have the day, the 9th, the night before belongs to it, and the night following. So it means the 10th has no night. The 10th has, so this whole period of time now, from the time of Zawal, till the next morning, Subh Sadiq, you can make your wukufi Arafah and get your Hajj. So that's the first farz, wukufi Arafah. And the second farz is tawaf al-ziyarah. So there's only two farz in Hajj. The remaining all, واجبات. To have ihram on and wukuf in Muzdalifa, the rest of them, ramyul jamarat, to pull the jamarat, all these are wajibat. If you miss those now, then you have to slaughter an animal. But if you miss this, one of these two, then your hajj is not valid. So the people from Najd came, and they asked about hajj. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam told them that hajj is to stay in Arafah, stating, the hajj is of the one who arrives at Arafat on the night of Muzdalifa before dawn is complete. You got your hajj. While standing in Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for the forgiveness of his ummah. For all hours made dua for the ummah. According to the sunan of Ibn Majah, hadith kitab, his dua was answered, except two duas were not answered yet. Except for those who oppress others, Ya Allah forgive the zalim of my ummah also. Ya Allah forgive him also. So for those who oppress others, for whom he sought justice. So he made dua for two types of people. Ya Allah, forgive the zalim of my ummah, and even the qatil, the murderer also. Ya Allah, forgive him also. Don't take him to task, because Quran says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ. All is punishment, the person who kills a mu'min, that kills a mu'min. Quran Sharif says his punishment will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with him. Allah's curse upon him. Allah will punish him. He'll be given a severe punishment. Alright? So he made dua even for the murderer. Ya Allah, although you say you won't forgive him, Ya Allah, still to forgive him. So he made dua for the zalim and the qatil, for the murderer. So his dua was accepted for the zalim. Oh my Nabi, I forgive your zalim of your ummah. So he made dua, Ya Allah, forgive the zalim, and Ya Allah, you reimburse the oppressed one. From your side, Ya Allah, you give him, and forgive the zalim. So Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua also. Meaning now, that if the zalim makes tawbah, Allah will forgive him. So his dua was accepted, signifying a moment of divine mercy and forgiveness for his followers. That is why they say on the day of Arafah, it's different from the tahajjud time. The tahajjud time, person wakes up, the hadith sharif says Allah Ta'ala comes to the closest, Allah's rahmat comes to the closest heaven. Allah Ta'ala calls out, who has a problem, make dua. Who wants a rosy, Allah will sustain. And Allah Ta'ala calls out on the every night tahajjud time. On the day of Arafah, they say Allah also comes to the closest heaven. But on that day, Allah Ta'ala doesn't call out who wants. Allah Ta'ala gives. Allah Ta'ala gives. And Allah Ta'ala boasts about the hajjis of Malaika. Look at my hujjaj. Look at my servants, how they've come. But that day Allah Ta'ala is giving, open is free. That's why they say that the most special day in the Islamic calendar is Yom Arafah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, signifying a moment of divine mercy and forgiveness for his ummah. Then there's a riwayat. أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام دعا لأمته عشية عرفة بالمغفرة فأجيب إني قد غفرت لهم ما خلى الظالم. The Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام made dua for forgiveness for his ummah on the eve of Arafah. And the response came. The response came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قد غفرت لهم. I have forgiven all of them except for the oppressor. I haven't forgiven him. ما خلى الظالم فإني آخذ للمظلوم. Minhu, Allah Ta'ala says that I have forgiven them except for the oppressor, with whom I will settle the score, with whom I will settle the score in favor of the one who he had oppressed. Qiyamah's day, I'll sort him out to the mazlum. So, qala, so Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Ey Rabbi in shayta, he responded that, Ey Rabbi in shayta, a'atayta al-mazlum min al-jannah, wa ghafarta li zalim, falam yujib ashiyata. فلما أصبح بالمزدلفة أعاد الدعاء فأجيب إلى ما سأل قال فضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقال تبسم بأبي أنت وأمي إن هذه لساعة ما كنت تضحك فيها فما الذي أضحكك أضحك الله سنك قال إن عدو الله إبليس لما علم إن الله عز وجل أن الله عز وجل قد استجاب دعائي وغفر لأمتي أخذ التراب فجعل يحثوه على رأسه ويدعو بالويل والثبور فأضحكني ما رأيت من جزعه. So Allah Ta'ala didn't forgive. Even though pressed in Arafah, it was in Muzdalifah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Oh my Rabb." So he responded, "Allah says, I'll settle the score the day of Qiyamah between the Zalim and Mazlum." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam still persisted. So he said, make dua till Allah accepts it. Last time you mentioned that just don't make dua, say nothing is happening. You say persist in dua till Allah Ta'ala accepts your dua and gives you what you want. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, responded, "Oh my Rabb, if you will, then grant jannat to the one who is oppressed. Give him jannat. And forgive the zalim and the oppressor." No response came that evening. No response came that evening. The day of Arafah, response didn't come. But the next day at Muzdalifah, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated this dua. Didn't give up still. And his dua was accepted, was granted. The narrator said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laughed. Oh, he said, he smiled, tabassama. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, they were there, "May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah. This is not a time when you usually laugh. How come you're laughing now?" So he said, "What made you laugh? May Allah make your ears full with laughter." Adhakallahu sinnak. May Allah make your ears full with laughter. He said, "The enemy of Allah, Iblis, when he came to know that Allah answered my dua and has forgiven my nation, took some dust and threw it on his head, uttering cries of woe and doom. What I saw of his anguish made me laugh." Now he'll try for years, he'll make you a zalim. But if you make tawbah, all his efforts are wasted. All are wasted. But at the same time they say, doesn't mean make zulam and I'll make tawbah later. I say, Allah, bo ghafur rahim che. Allah is very ghafur rahim. Yes, Allah is ghafur rahim. Liman taaba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan. Allah is ghafur and rahim for the person that makes tawbah. Renews his iman, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and he does good deeds thereafter. That Allah will just forgive me. So I'll make zulam now, and last minute, then I'll make tawbah istighfar. You don't know whether you get the opportunity. And one of the satis mentioned also, that his young son heard now, that if you don't read Bismillah, the shaitan eats with you. So they say now, if you upset shaitan, don't read Bismillah. When the last luqma is left, read Bismillah, أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. Then he spew out everything. So, you don't do it like that now. This is the right thing to do. You can't make a plan like that. It was in the place of Arafat that the following blessed verse of the Qur'an Kareem was revealed. It was in Arafat, the day of Jum'ah. أَلْيُمَ أَكْمَلْتُ وَلَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ أَتْسَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ وَلَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. It was revealed here in Arafat. This day Allah says, on this day I have perfected your religion for you. Our deen is perfect. We don't need any additions, no subtractions. It's complete. It's sealed, it's airtight, it's done, it's finished. Hazrat says, that's how you must make your deen, make your taqwa like that. You want everything airtight. People are going now, off-roading with their cars, and they're going in rivers, whatever it is now. No water comes in the car. Hazrat says, how they make cars like that? And no water comes in there. Make your iman like that, taqwa like that also. Then no gunas come inside. It comes to the watch also, Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say, the Swiss made waterproof watches for scuba diving. Even the vapor of water doesn't come inside. Say, why don't you make your heart like that? Attach it to the friends of Allah, to the love of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Everything will try to come still. But my heart is sealed. Airtight. Alhamdulillah. Got my amal, got my taqwa, covers my iman. So this day I have perfected your religion for you. Therefore make all these du'as in the day of Arafah. Ya Allah, give me an airtight, guna tight, or taqwa tight heart. That no guna can penetrate it anymore. Make all these du'as in Arafah. We might not be there, heart is there, but we can make du'a over here. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is coming down. So that day, the day of Arafah, deen was perfected. Ya Allah, I don't need anything else to have a perfect life. We put this in our hearts. Ya Allah, my deen is already perfected. Allah perfected it. And who doesn't say, I'm a perfectionist? I mean, perfectionist. So deen is perfect. We don't need anything else to have fun, to enjoy ourselves. Dive into the oceans of deen and see what pearls you'll find. How you'll enjoy yourself. We don't need anything else now. Everything else is just going to batter our taqwa. Whether it's a paddle tennis bat, that'll batter the taqwa after that. Masturat are going out and playing also. It's like unimaginable how Allah Ta'ala has built them and they're running up and down like that. Other men looking at them. It's a befitting for a woman of iman, that she has iman in her heart. And for the husband to let her do a thing like that. Here's the Nabi of Allah in seclusion now and then. He's around with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is a little bit of a race to make her happy. To make her happy. He would race with her, but one time he beat her, then next time she beat him. So they would have the little moments on their own, not in public view. For this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your deen and your religion. This was on the day of Arafah. This verse, considered of profound significance, was revealed to Rasulullah ﷺ after the Asr Salah on Yom al-Jumu'ah. Rasulullah ﷺ was on his camel, and camel's name was Adbah. And it seemed that due to the weight of the revelation, the knees of the camel had started to buckle. Because when wahi used to come down, it was very heavy. One sahabi said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had his head on my thigh. And when wahi would come down, sometimes it was winter, very cold. But then we could see already that there were traces of perspiration coming down his forehead. Wahi was starting now. He said, it was so heavy upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and his head was resting on my thigh, I thought my thigh bone would break in two pieces. It was so heavy upon him. This is the kalam of Allah coming down upon the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the camel almost buckled to the weight of this wahi. Fasting on the day of Arafah. As the 9th of Zulhijjah dawned upon the faithful, the mu'mineen, fasting on this auspicious day was previously emphasized. So before that also, they used to fast on the 9th. By Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, there arose a moment of misunderstanding among some sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, questioning whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observing the fast or not. So is he fasting or not now? How are we going to come to know? To dispel any doubts, I look at the sahabiyat. They had no degree. They weren't educated, so to say. They were really smart. As I mentioned, without the smartphone. Allah Ta'ala taught, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says clearly, adopt taqwa of Allah, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ. Allah will teach you. Allah will teach you. Many times, like our Hazrat Wala also, Abul Hamid Sahib Dhamma Barakatuhu, most of what Allah Wala speak, you won't find in kitabs. You find the post also we're sending to the groups nowadays. What deep things they're talking about? It's all extracted from Hadith and Quran. See how they understood Shariat, so beautiful they understood it. So those things you won't find in kitabs. This is now what Allah Ta'ala puts upon their hearts. Because of the taqwa, Allah teaches them what dosage, what prescription, what medication to give the ummat. Allah Ta'ala instills in their hearts. So the masturat also, you might think now, you won't go, you won't get education, you get to taqwa. Adopt taqwa within your home, Allah will make you a genius. Now you may sahaba ikram now, whole discussion going around, there in Arafat, Nabi of Allah is fasting, not fasting. How are we going to find out? How are we going to? There's so many of them. And even if you do find out, who's going to get to him to ask him and finally pass the word around to everybody that Nabi of Allah is not fasting? So, dekho, who was the one now to find out? So, Ummul Fadl bintu Harith radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ummul Fadl bintu Harith radiallahu anha recounts an incident. So she says, so she saw this happening. So she said, أَنَّ نَاسًا تَمَارَوْا عِنْدَهَا يُمَ عَرَفَةَ فِي سُومِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ هُوَ صَائِمٌ وَقَالَ بَعْضٌ لَيْسَ بِصَائِمٌ فَأَرْسَلْتُ إِلَيْهِ بِقِدَحٍ بِقَدَحِ لَبْنٍ وَهُوَ وَاقِفٌ عَلَى بَعِيرِهِ فَشَرِبَهُ. So she says, أُمُّ الْفَضَلِ بِنْتُ حَارِثَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا, she says, some individuals have discussed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting on the day of Arafah, seeking clarity. So some say he was fasting. Some say he's not fasting. So she heard the whole conversation happening. So how she sorted it out? So what she did was, Ummul Fadl sent a bowl of milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's see whether he'll drink or not. So where is he right now? Sitting on his camel. So all can see him from far. So she sent a bowl of milk for him. As he rode his camel, in full view of everyone, he drank the milk, clarifying that he was not fasting. So therefore she did this. Allah rewarded the best of rewards. So the haji, it's better he doesn't fast on that day. Non-haji will be back over here, then the reward for fasting on the day of Arafah, gunas are forgiven, 1 year gunas are forgiven, etc. Bukhari Sharif riwayat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's act of openly drinking milk served to affirm his decision not to fast on that particular day, dispelling any confusion among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Departing from Arafat. As the sun dipped below the horizon of Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam bid farewell to the sacred plain, to the sacred plain of Arafat, accompanied by Osama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was riding behind him on his camel. The departure was on a serene pace, wasn't fast, it was normal pace. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam maneuvered his horse, rather his camel, with practiced ease. Whether traversing wide expanses or navigating hills, he adjusted his speed accordingly, ensuring a smooth journey back from Arafat. Leading the caravan towards Muzdalifah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was surrounded by his devoted Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and followers. The every step was watched over by the angels that day. Allah is boasting about, look at my hajis now, they're moving, they're going to Muzdalifah, all are forgiven. They made dua for the ummah also. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua also. Allahumma ghafir lil hajj. Wa limani istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive that. Nabi of Allah made dua. Ya Allah, forgive the haji. Forgive the haji. And also forgive the one for whom the haji asked for forgiveness. Forgive that person also. So these are special delegations on behalf of the ummah. For they say that they move, the every step was watched over by the malaika and acclaimed by the creator of the universe, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his left hand guiding the camel and his right hand urging the faithful to maintain peace and decorum. Left hand holding the reins and the right hand telling them, take it easy, no rush, no rush. We'll get to Muzdalifah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exemplified tranquility and instructed, Ya ayyuhal nas alaykum, alaykum as-sakina, O people, maintain calmness. Maintain. So how do you mustn't get excited? Maintain calmness. The Tirmidhi Sharif riwayat. Throughout the journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued reciting the talbiyah. Talbiyah is still on. Labbaik Allahumma. Labbaik. Pausing only now and then momentarily to dismount, relieve himself and perform wudu. When Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquired about salah. Which salah? Maghrib. Sunset is dark now. Wasn't like how it's today. They say the longest, what do you say, the longest pathway or walkway in the world is from Arafat to Muzdalifah. The whole thing is paved. Right? There was a report recently, the longest walkway or paved walkway in the world is from Arafat to such a long, there's about four paths. They take a person now from Arafat, right to Muzdalifah and then to Mina, right till the end of Jamarat. It's almost like a straight road. So that time wasn't like that. There were hillocks, there were mountains, and no lights. Dark. It was absolute darkness. But we can imagine now the illuminated face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say Medina became Munawwara. Munawwara means enlightened, full of nur. He became enlightened by the nur of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He enlightened it. So he asked, O Nabi of Allah, what about Maghrib Salah? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam directed him forward. He said, Sir, move on Usama, don't worry, move on. All new rules and regulations now. Indicating that salah will be performed upon reaching Muzdalifah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam proceeded from Arafat till he reached the mountain pass where he dismounted, relieved himself, and then made wudu. So Usama bin Zayd said to him, is it the time for salah, O Nabi of Allah? Are you making wudu now? You stopped over here? He said, the place of salah is ahead of you. He said, go, move ahead. He rode till he reached Muzdalifah. He dismounted and performed wudu, and a perfect one. The iqama was given, and he led the Maghrib salah in Muzdalifah in Isha time. So he read Zuhur and Asr together. One adhan, two iqama. One iqama for Zuhur, they finished off, no sunnats, and then they gave the iqama for Asr, and they read the Asr salah, then they went to make wukuf. Maghrib also now on the day of Muzdalifah, on the day of Arafah, then you go to Muzdalifah and there you read your Maghrib and Isha in Isha time. So this one over here now, as I mentioned, to read Zuhr and Asr together, right? Most of the Muftis, the fatwa is that you can only do that behind the Imam of Hajj in Masjid Namira. In your own camp, then you read Zuhr in its own time, in its proper time, and Asr in its proper time. But when it comes to Maghrib and Isha, that now all will do it like that. Right? Make your own Jamaat and read your Maghrib and then your Isha, one after the other in Isha time. So the Iqamah was given and he led the Maghrib Salah. In the meanwhile, his camel was made to sit down. Then the Iqamah was raised for Isha Salah, was given for Isha Salah, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led, and no Salah was offered in between the two, that is Isha and Maghrib. There was no Awabin that day also now, and no Sunnats. Muzdalifah is a place located between Arafat and Mina, that is included within the borders of the Haram. Arafat is outside the border. This is now within the border. His other name is, they call it Jam. Sorry, they call it Jam. Jam'un. Notably, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted permission to the women folk there in Muzdalifah. He gave them permission, the children and the elderly among the Ahl Bayt, his family, to depart for Mina at night. So you find other madahib, Shafi'is, etc. They come a little while in Muzdalifah, they take a bit of a nap, and they start moving already after midnight or so. They go towards Mina. Hanafis, we have to stay. It's wajib for us to read our Isha there, make wukuf here. Muzdalifah is wajib for us. After Subuh Sadiq, they do this in the night, and then they move to Mina already. So he gave permission for the women folk, children, and the elderly to depart to Mina at night, cautioning them not to perform Rami before sunrise. Rami, pelting of Jamarat, pelting of the Shaitan. He says, you are going now early, but you can only pelt after Subuh Sadiq, after sunrise, Subuh Sadiq after sunrise. This compassionate gesture highlights Rasulullah's consideration for the vulnerable members of his community. Hence, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates, say, أَنَا مِمَّنْ قَدَّمَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ لَيْلَةَ الْمُزَّلِفَةِ فِي ضَعَفَةِ أَهْلِهِ. I was amongst those people whom Rasulullah had instructed to accompany the weak ones from his family from Muzdalifah to Mina. So sent him ahead also. He was a young boy at the time also, so go with the elderly. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah narrates on the authority of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah that Rasulullah s.a.w. instructed Abbas, اِذْهَبْ بِضَعَفَائِنَا وَنِسَائِنَا فَلْيُصَلُّوا أَصُبْحَ بِمِنَا. Oh, Abdullah bin Abbas, depart with the women folk and the weak ones from my family so that they may perform Fajr Salah in Mina. I will perform it here in Muzdalifah. In the tranquility of Muzdalifah, as we say in our Muzdalifah, mashallah, people ask, where we sleep? What do you say? 1,000-star accommodation, under the stars. And ask many people, how was that night? They says, best sleep of my life. Sleeping on the street somewhere, some corner, people jumping over you, etc. Say, what a night it was. Hazrat says, if you did Hajj, alhamdulillah, how you manage the 5 days of Hajj in such simple garb, no shampoo, no conditioner, no body wash. Say, lead every 5 days of your life like that also, like you're a haji. And see what a nice life you'll have. No extras, simple living, less expenditure, and your life will pass, alhamdulillah. You did it there, so you can do it every day. It's just mind over matter. But now, our society, and my whole environment. In the tranquility of Muzdalifah, Rasulullah s.a.w. rested, did not perform tahajjud salah during that night. As soon as it was early dawn, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed the Fajr Salah at his earliest time. So this point is important also. They say he performed Salah bi ghalasin. Ghalas means awal time. Why is a highlight of this morning? Because for Hanafis, for us, it's more virtuous to read our Salah as late as possible, Fajr Salah especially. Asfiru bil Fajr, fa innahu a'zamu lil ajr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said more or less, they read your Fajr Salah when it's nice and bright outside, because there's more reward at that time. So the Hanafis, you find that it's better for them to delay 20-25 minutes before sunrise. So if there has to be a repeat the Salah, there's still time left over. Alright, so it's the best time. That's why this is highlighted. On this night now, this morning was different. We read it awal time. Because normally the habit was reading it late. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu used to read also long rakats of Fajr Salah, and his voice is so loud you would hear it in the gullies of Madina Munawwara. And they say he is to making proper amal upon this hadith. And when he is to make the second salam of Fajr, he used to tell the Sahabi, quickly go outside and see the horizon. Has the sun risen or not? And Hazrat Umar, he made it in time. It's alhamdulillah. So get the full reward. Doesn't mean we'll do this at home now. Open a musalla at home, and I'll do this at home, get the full reward. Full reward is in the masjid, inshallah. So here, as soon as it was early dawn, suppose Sadiq, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed the Fajr Salah at his earliest time. Thereafter, he traveled to Mash'arul Haram. عند المشعر الحرام واذكروه كما هداكم كما في القرآن الشريف also. فإذا قضيت مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو اشتد ذكرى comes before that about مشعر الحرام. Now there's a masjid, also masjid المشعر الحرام in Muzdalifa. So he went to that place over there where he engaged in dua, remembering and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was here. So they also, the haji now, after Fajr Salah, he will stand up, raise his hand facing Qibla. Mina is in front, and then he start his dua. This is called Wukufu Muzdalifa, which is wajib. Now he'll make his dua after Fajr Salah. It was here that his dua for the Ummah, previously unfulfilled in Arafat, found acceptance as recounted in Ibn Majah. This is where Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua. Now leaving Muzdalifa, as dawn approached, sunrise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam departed from Muzdalifa, adhering to his practice of leaving before sunrise. Contrary to the custom of the days of Jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic era, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose not to delay departure until the sun was visible atop Mount Thabir, thereby setting a new precedent for the Hajj pilgrimage. That was his compassion. Leave before sunrise, so it's not so hot. Now begin moving towards Mina. This departure from Muzdalifa before sunrise was also observed by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, emulating Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, example for subsequent generations. Abu Dawud Sharif, Hadith Kitab, has recorded the following statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. كان أهل الجاهلية لا يفيضون حتى يروا الشمس على ثبير فخالفهم نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فدفع قبل طلوع الشمس. The disbelievers during the pre-Islamic era would not leave Muzdalifa until the sun rose above the Mount Thabir. It was quite high that time now, right? To see the sun, it was above the mountain. Now they would move. The Nabi of Allah opposed the practice and departed before sunrise. And in Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Amr bin Maymun radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates the following. He says, شهيت عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه صلى بجمع الصبح ثم وقف فقال إن المشركين كانوا لا يفيضون حتى تطلع الشمس ويقولون أشرق ثبير وأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام خالفهم ثم أفاض قبل أن تطلع الشمس. I witnessed عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه making wukuf after Fajr, like Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم making wukuf in standing facing Qibla, making dua at the Jam' that is Muzdalifa, and he said the Mushrikeen used to not move on from this Jam' from Muzdalifa until the sun rose over the mountain of Thabir. We will now oppose them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam deferred from them, opposed them, and moved on before the sun rose. Bukhari Sharif. During the journey from Muzdalifa to Mina, as a Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on his mount from Arafah to Muzdalifa, who was there? Usama bin Zaid. Right? And now from Muzdalifa onwards was Fadl bin Abbas, the brother of Abdullah bin Abbas, the first cousin of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was with him on the camel. While Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu traveled on foot. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates the following as recorded in Bukhari Sharif. He says, أَنَّ أُسَامَةَ بْنَ زَيْدٍ radiallahu anhu كَانَ رِدْفَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ رِدْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ من عرفة إلى المزدلفة ثم أردف الفضل من المزدلفة إلى منى. قال فكلاهما قال لم يزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبي حتى رمى جملة العقبة. To another important مسألة, أسامة بن زيد was seated behind النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام from عرفات ومزدلفة, and the after فضل بن عباس joined النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام from مزدلفة to منى. Both of them have narrated that النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام did not stop reciting تلبيه. He said reciting Talbiyah, right through, until he pelted the Jamra of Aqaba on the first day. That's when he stopped. On the first day, now we're on the 10th, remember now. So we finished Fajr Salah, we're in Muzdalifa, on the way to Mina. So remember, he went towards Mina, and after Mina is Haram. So we're in that direction now. Alright? So we're going towards Mina, and Talbiyah is still on. So on the day of, so on the 10th of Zulhijjah, the Yom al-Nahr, day of Qurbani. This is the morning of Qurbani. We preparing here back home now to go for Salatul Eid. You know Salatul Eid for the Haji. This is the busiest day now for him. If he's making Qiran or he's making Tamattu Hajj. Then for him. And the Mufrid also. Person only making Hajj. No Umrah with it. Three of them now from Muzdalifah, they will go to Mina. Jamratul Aqaba, they'll pass the first Jamra, the first Shaitan we call it, or Jamra. Second one, the third one, the biggest one. We pelt it 7 times. And the stones, pebbles will be picked up here at Muzdalifah. Alright, how many will pick up altogether? 21? No, how many days pelting we have? We've got 10, 11, 12, 13. Right, that's what we say. We have 6 days of Hajj, not 5. Hajj is, Rasulullah Sallam is 6 days of Hajj, 13th also. Therefore, we have to reinstill this in the Ummah. That 5 days is 6 days. Although the 6 day is Nafil, but Nabi of Allah spent the 6 day also. So the first day is only 7. So only one Jamrah, you pelt. Then the next 3 days is all 3. So you got 3 Jamarat, each one 7 stones. How many altogether? 21 times 3? 63. Plus the first day 7? 70 stones. So you pick 70 stones in Muzdalifah. These little pebbles are, not the big ones. You use little pebbles. That's Sunnah. Now, many people say, where are we going to keep it? So as the boys also the other day in Madrasa, 70 stones, where are you going to keep it? So, how do you hear what replies they give now? So carry one shoe bag, carry this, put it here, put it there. So I said, what the easiest thing is, there are millions of water bottles all over the floor there. People drink water and they throw the water bottles. 250 ml, 350 ml, half a liter. The best are the water bottles. So you get full 70 in there. If you wash it also, no problem. And you carry the water bottle with you. There's no water inside. Water is finished, so your stones are in there. Safest place, no problems. Every time you go Jamarat, you just take out 7 from the bottle and you stone. Or you keep a few bottles also for the few days, no problem. That's the easiest thing and there's no cost. You just wash it and use it. Right? So that's how you pick up the pebbles. So Talbiyah was still on now. We're going to Mina and Talbiyah is still on. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas and Hazrat Usama say this. It was in the same route that Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah was instructed to collect the pebbles. Is it over here? Collect the pebbles for the pelting of the Jamarat. Jamarat, what you call the Shaitan. The Arabic word is the Jamarat. Rabbi hears this word also commonly, the Jamarat. And it was on the same route that a woman from the tribe of Khas'am approached Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and inquired, Ya Rasulullah, inna faridatallahi ala ibadihi fil hajji adrakat abi shaykhan kabiran. لا يستطيع أن يستوي على الراحلة فهل يقضي عنه أن أحج عنه. So she came and she asked a masla. So she says, she asked that Allah's obligation, fardiyat, that is compulsory hajj enjoined on his slaves has become due on my elderly father. It's farz upon him also. Alright? Who cannot sit firmly on the riding animal. But anybody say they can leave, inshallah, for about 10 minutes. Anybody needs a chair, can sit also. But he cannot sit firmly on the riding animal. So will it be sufficient if I perform Hajj on his behalf? So Nabi of Allah said, yes, you may. Hada masla came, Hajj badal masla. This is unable to, but if farz upon him, he can make wasiyat and send somebody on his behalf. While this discussion was taking place, the woman asking kiss came all of a sudden, and for the mustarat, we say that they can't cover their faces. Right? They must wear their parada. How they not, they shouldn't wear the parada how normally they wear it. Must be away from their faces. So she just came now, she had to ask a question quickly. So she came in full view. The Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah was looking at her. And she was looking at him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned the face of Fadl bin Abbas away. Took his chin and he turned his face away. So that do not look at each other. Additionally, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi includes that on that occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna hadha yumun man hafidha fihi basarahu wa lisanihi ghufira lahu." Subhanallah. This is the day when those who guard their eyes and tongues will be forgiven. Will be forgiven. Just to guard your eyes and your tongue on this day. Remember that time now, there weren't so many tense with the woman to sit everywhere. Alright, so as Aisha mentions also, we were sitting and then the men would pass and we would cover ourselves quickly. Alright, then they would walk away, then we would open our faces again. Whoever refrains from looking at indecency and abstains from idle talk will be forgiven. A man approached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a similar question regarding the query of performing Hajj on behalf of his mother. It's farz upon her, but she can't make it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam advised, if your mother had a debt, would you not settle it? So the Hajj also has become a debt upon her. He replied in the affirmative, to which Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam stated, then perform Hajj on her behalf. We'll just finish this one, last chapter, Wadi of Muhassir. Now we come to the valley of Muhassir. Muhassir, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam traversed the valley of Muhassir, he hastened his camel forward. This is now leaving Muzdalifah. So there was a valley of Muhassir. Situated between Mina and Muzdalifah, Muhassir was neither a part of Mina nor Muzdalifah. Okay? It was commonly believed to be a site of divine retribution, punishment, this valley over here, where the army of the elephant was destroyed, Abraha. This is where Tayran Ababil came. Allah Ta'ala sent them. This valley over here. So when Nabi of Allah came there, he hastened his pace. Let's get out of here quickly. Some narrations suggest that this valley was associated with the past incidents of divine wrath of Allah, anger of Allah, such as the shower of fire upon a man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his blessed habit of hastening through places marked by divine punishment, swiftly passed through Muhassir, a practice reminiscent of his journey through the settlements of Thamud during the expedition of Tabuk. They also, unfortunately nowadays, the Ummah are going to see these places. Become a tourist site. Go see the Dead Sea. Right? To use anything from there is a permissible also. Dead Sea, riwayat say, most probably that is the place where Qawm Lut was destroyed. When Allah Ta'ala gave the command, said Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, so there were four or five punishments that was meted out to them. First he yelled till their brain couldn't take it. جَعَلْنَا عَالِيهَا سَافِلَهَا. There were four cities of Sodom, of Qawm Lut, people of Lut alayhi salam. Four cities. He tucked his wing under all four cities and he picked it up to the skies. He said when he picked it up to the skies, the cry and the terror of the people could be heard by the malaika in the first heaven. And then he turned it over, عَالِيهَا. And then they rained down upon them stones, as it says, like Scud missiles. Each stone, each rock, Each of those stones, مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, had a name of a person who it was hit. And then they were toppled upside down and crushed into the ground. We say, under the Dead Sea, that is where the cities are. The people go there, tourist site. Then they want to buy all the soaps and whatever it is from there. Now the Ummah has gone so far. Ummah Jalla Baq hasn't given us. But then we see Qawm Thamud, where they were destroyed. And where this one was destroyed. Zero place to go and see where Allah Ta'ala's anger came. So Nabi of Allah hastened through these places. Some have suggested that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made haste through this valley in opposition of the disbelievers as they used to halt and remain here. So to oppose them, you can see how many things in the Hajj was opposing the mushrikeen. For us to understand that every move Nabi of Allah made was Khaliful Mushrikeen, oppose the Mushrikeen, oppose the Kuffar, oppose, don't follow them. We have our own way, our own tariqah, our own sunnat. Then every way that we can oppose them, oppose them. Now everything they give us, we want to follow it, try it out. Unfortunately, we hear the Ummah saying, which we don't like to repeat. Hadith Sharif says that leave that which puts you in doubt to that that has no doubt. So if we have doubt, we say, leave it out. Some youngsters, na'uzu billah, we shouldn't repeat, says, if we have doubt, try it out, na'uzu billah. Can't try it out. Against the hadith sharif, this, na'uzu billah. So upon reaching Mina, Rasulullah ﷺ first approached the Jamara of Aqaba. Remember, this was a place now also, where the first bay'at took place with the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, the same area, right in Aqaba. And from there, they pledged allegiance to him, that will take you back to Medina Sharif. So the Jamara is there. Riding his camel, with determination, as the sun ascended. Remember, it is still morning now. It's still way before Zuhur now. They left here now before sunrise. Came into Mina, we stayed to Aqaba. So riding his camel, as sun ascended, he faced the Jamra of Aqaba and commenced a ritual of stoning, proclaiming Takbir Allahu Akbar with each pebble cast, with the Kaaba Sharif on his left hand side, and Mina on his right hand side. That's where the Haji must stand and pelt. Although he can stand all four sides as you want to, but this is Sunnah way. You have the Baytullah, Qibla is to your left, and Mina to your right. And then you pelt the Jamarat, proclaiming Takbir Allahu Akbar. With the Kaaba Sharif on his left and Mina on his right, he continued the stoning ritual until the first pebble of Rami was thrown. He kept on reciting Talbiyah right till here, Labbaik. Now the Labbaik stopped with the first pebble. This tradition hadith was echoed by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who emulated Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's actions during the stoning ritual. Accompanied by Bilal radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed the stoning ritual at Jamarah of Aqaba during the Farewell al Hajj. So they both were with him, Hazrat Bilal and Hazrat Usama bin Zayd. While one companion led the camel, one was leading the camel, the other shielded Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed head from the sun. One was making khidmat and one was pulling it. Amidst the ritual, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam imparted profound wisdom, emphasizing the importance of obedience to a ruler who upholds the teachings of the Quran. Ummu Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummu Hussein the Sahabiyah. So she narrates this riwayat and she says, Hajjastu ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam حجة الوداع فرأيت حين رمى جمرة العقبة وانصرف وهو على راحلته ومعه بلال وأسامة أحدهما يقود به راحلته والآخر رافع ثوبه على رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشمس. So she said, I performed حجة الوداع in the company of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. I saw him stoning the جمرة العقبة whilst he was riding his camel. The Bilal رضي الله عنه and Usama رضي الله عنه were with him. While one companion led the camel, the other shielded, and he shaded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed head from the sun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa imparted many advice on that day. Then I heard him saying, so she was there, so she heard the khutbah or the advice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So she narrates and she says, فقالت فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قولا كثيرا. He said many things, many advices. ثم سمعته يقول. Then I heard him saying, إن أمر عليكم عبد مجدع حسبتها قالت أسود يقودكم بكتاب الله تعالى فاسمعوا له وأطيعوا. So she said, I heard this from Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. If a maimed slave is appointed as a commander over you, the narrator says, I think she said a black slave, who leads you according to the book of Allah, then listen to him and obey him, even though he be a black slave also. But he's giving you command in regards to Kitabullah, then follow him. Meaning now, there's no virtue of one over the other except based on taqwa. You can be a black slave also, but you have taqwa, and you're leading the people according to Quran and Hadith, follow him. Reflecting on the significance of the moment, he urged his followers, Ummah, to learn the rituals of Hajj from him. Acknowledging that it might be his final Hajj. Now and then he would repeat these words, that take the rites of Hajj from me, you might not see me next year again. So take from me. The statement underscored the solemnity of the occasion and Rasulullah's concern for his Ummah's guidance. لِتَأْخُذُوا مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْرِي لَعَلِّي لَا أَحُجُّ بَعَدْ حَجَّتِ هَذِي. Learn your rituals and rites of Hajj by seeing me performing them, for I do not know whether I will be performing Hajj after this Hajj of mine. So, Sahaba Ikram, they took all this from Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Khair, will stop here, inshallah. At page 42, thereafter, they discussed the khutbah of Mina. So there's khutbah in Arafah also, and there was khutbah in Mina also. Very commonly we see those frames, the final sermon of Nabi alayhi salam, for the many sermons that took place. One was on the 7th, one was on the 9th. 7th was one day before Hajj. teaching them now what we're going to do ahead. Then on the 9th was in Arafah. There was a khutbah given. Then there was one on the 11th also. 10th they were busy. So 11th, one day after Qurbani, after Tawaf al-Ziyarah, there was a khutbah there also. So many khutbahs took place during the Hajj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which inshallah we will discuss tomorrow, the khutbah of Mina.